Greetings in the name of the Lord. Today we're going to begin a long series of studies on the general epistles of the New Testament. Some of you are not familiar with the phrase general epistles, but these books are very, very familiar to us. Now this is a long series of messages because we're going to cover seven different books from the New Testament. We're going to cover the book of James, we're going to cover 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Jude. And these books all go together. And these are distinguished from the epistles of Paul. We generally think of the New Testament in terms of the inspired writings through the Apostle Paul. But these books are also very important books, and they're books that we need to study and we need to understand. And as we're going to point out in the course of our study, some have misunderstood these books. They believe somehow that the book of James is in conflict with the writings of Paul. And you never speak of God's word like this. God's word is never in conflict with itself. The book of James is just as much the inspired writing of God as any of the epistles of Paul. And so when people say that the book of James is in conflict or in contradiction to the epistles of Paul, it means they simply don't understand the teachings of these books and the purposes of these books. And so we're going to spend many, many broadcasts on this subject of the general epistles. And these seven books are going to be the focus of our attention. There are several things I want to do by way of introduction to this study, so be very patient with me as we get into the study of these books. First of all, how do these books compare with the epistles of Paul? In other words, Paul's purposes and the purposes of these books may have been different, and so we need to compare these books with the epistles of Paul. First of all, most of the epistles of Paul were written to specific local churches in various parts of the Roman Empire. You see this in the epistle to the Romans, the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Galatians, and various others of his epistles. Whereas the general epistles, with the possible exception of 2nd and 3rd John, are written to a more general audience. In other words, they're written to Jews scattered throughout the Roman Empire. This would be the book of James. Or they're written to Gentiles scattered throughout Asia. And this would be the epistles of Peter. And so, other than knowing whether the addressees were Jews or Gentiles, we know very little about the specific people to whom these general epistles were written. We know very little about them. They're not given by name except for 2nd and 3rd John. They're not given by name, and they're just written to them in a very general way. And then another difference is that most of the epistles of Paul were written with specific situations and needs and problems of the people to whom he was writing. In other words, when he wrote to the Ephesians, they had certain problems in their church. Certain good things he said about them, but certain problems he was dealing with in their church. So this was a local situation with certain problems and needs. The general epistles, however, deal with the broader questions of the Christian life and the problems that Christians were facing in a very general way in the societies in which they lived. They deal specifically, for instance, with the subject of persecution and trials that they're going through. And these trials and persecutions were going to be true throughout the Roman Empire. And so these books deal with broader areas. Most of the epistles of Paul were also written concerning the doctrine of salvation itself, its means and its implications. Whereas Paul is emphasizing how to be saved, not so much what happens after you're saved, although he does include this in a number of his epistles. We find in Romans 12 to 15 and Ephesians chapters 4 to 6 and Colossians 3 and 4 that Paul does deal with the problems of the Christian life. But we notice in most of Paul's epistles he deals with how to be saved, how to really know that you're saved. The general epistles, however, put heavy emphasis upon the proofs of salvation. This is why many people misunderstand the book of James. James is not speaking about how to be saved. He is speaking about how you can prove you really have Jesus in your heart, how your life reveals it. He often says, for instance, in James chapter 1, some will say that they are saved, and yet by their works they don't show it. So he's going to emphasize this truth in the book of James. And so most of the general epistles are talking about proofs. For instance, when you come to 1 John, and we'll be studying this much later in our studies, when you come to 1 John, 1 John is going to deal with 7 or 8 different proofs of real salvation in a person's life. And if these proofs are not there, it would cast some doubt upon whether that person has ever been saved. And then most of the epistles of Paul were also written before the great persecutions that began in the mid-60s. And of course, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus would be the exception to this, because they were written in the mid-60s. But most of his epistles were written before these great persecutions began. We know, of course, that in the mid-60s, the persecution under the Emperor Nero began, and these persecutions occupied the attentions of the Christians, because they were going to affect throughout the Roman Empire most of the Christians. But you'll notice that the general epistles, with the exception of James, but 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, and Jude are all written either before these persecutions began or after the time of the greatest of these persecutions. And so the epistles of Paul were not written so much concerning these persecutions. And then most of the epistles of Paul were written when the preaching and the following of the gospel was still pure in doctrinal content. In other words, there had not been any great efforts to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, the book of Galatians would be the exception. The book of Galatians was written, in fact, it was the earliest of Paul's epistles. The book of Galatians was written to churches in the Galatian area that had been affected by Judaizers who came in trying to distort the gospel. They were trying to convince the people that faith was good, but unless you followed the law, you were not going to go to heaven. And so the book of Galatians would be the one exception. But most of the books that Paul wrote were written in a time when the gospel was still pure, when the doctrines had not been distorted, when false teachers had not arisen to such an extent. We do find this beginning in the mid-60s, of course, when he writes 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. We find that some within their own number were distorting the gospel. But in the earlier epistles of Paul, even in the prison epistles written in about 60 or 61 A.D., you don't find any great distortion of the gospel. And then we also find some differences when we compare the background of Paul with the background of those who wrote the general epistles. Now, Paul, for instance, had a connection with the Jerusalem church. We note on several occasions that he went back in chapter 11 of Acts, chapter 15 of Acts, chapter 20 of Acts, that he went back to Jerusalem church to report. But he was not from that church. He was not saved under the ministry of that church, and he was not from that church. And he makes it very clear, in fact, that his ministry to the Gentiles is very distinct from the ministry of the Jerusalem church. However, the leaders who wrote the general epistles were all from the Jerusalem church. You take James, for instance, the half-brother of Jesus. You take Jude, also the half-brother of Jesus. You take Peter. You take John. They were all from the Jerusalem church. And so they had a vital connection with that church. Now, Paul was also not directly connected with the Lord during his earthly ministry. Now, Paul did have a vision, Acts chapter 9. He had this wonderful vision on the road to Damascus of the Lord himself. So Paul was introduced to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was not with the Lord during the time of his earthly ministry. But you notice all of the writers of the general epistles were with the Lord in one form or another. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit later, perhaps, when we get into the books. But you'll notice, for instance, that even the half-brothers of Jesus had heard much of the teaching of the Lord Jesus, even though they perhaps didn't believe until after his resurrection. But James and Jude, these two half-brothers of Jesus, they had heard much of his teaching and, of course, grew up with the Lord Jesus. And even though at one time they seemed to mock him, another time they seemed to think he was crazy, they came with their mother Mary to take him away because they had thought he had lost his senses. Nevertheless, they were vitally acquainted with the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, Peter and John were two of the very closest associates of the Lord Jesus. They were men whom he favored, men whom he took with him on very special occasions. And so these men had been a part of the ministry and the life of the Lord Jesus. And in fact, Those two men, Peter and John, had been trained by the Lord Jesus for some 3.5 years before his crucifixion and resurrection. And so they had intimately shared with the Lord Jesus in all of his experiences. And then, of course, Paul had also been a violent opposer of the Lord, and none of the others had been in this condition. Even though the brothers of Jesus, the half-brothers of Jesus, I should say, even though they had doubted the Lord Jesus and had wondered about his ministry and perhaps were not even saved until after his resurrection, nevertheless, they were not violent opposers of his. But the Apostle Paul had dedicated himself, believing that the Lord Jesus was a false teacher with a false message, was leading people astray, and that his followers were leading people astray, and this man had dedicated himself to violent opposition to the Lord Jesus. And so the position of the Apostle Paul is very, very different from the position of these other apostles, these other men. James and Jude, of course, were not apostles, but nevertheless, his life is very different from theirs, and his background is very, very different from theirs. And so we can see that not only his epistles, but also his very background distinguishes the Apostle Paul from these other men. These other men were different from the Apostle Paul, and God used them in this way. Now, I want to emphasize, as we get into this study, that every one of the books of the New Testament, every one of the books of the Bible, are divinely inspired by God. Even though they were written by different men from different backgrounds, from different situations, even though their emphases may have been slightly different in the way they presented the truth, nevertheless, every one of these books is divinely inspired by God. And so when we make these comparisons between Paul and the writers of the general epistles, or when we compare their backgrounds, we're not distinguishing them concerning their content. Is it from God or not from God? We're simply saying that God chose men from different backgrounds to be divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down these truths. And so when you study these books, you keep in mind the nature of the men whom God used. It is very helpful if we remember where they came from and what their backgrounds might have been, and how they were used by God and chosen by God to write down these various books of the New Testament. And so we're coming now into the study of the general epistles. And along the way, as we get deeper and deeper into this study, I will be pointing out the various ways that the general epistles emphasize certain truths in ways that perhaps Paul did not emphasize the same truths. Whereas Paul's purposes were different, and so he did not emphasize exactly the same truths, or exactly in the same way would he emphasize these truths. And so we're going to be pointing this out as we go along. It's helpful in understanding these books if we emphasize these differences and the purposes for which these books were written. Now, one other thing I want to say about the general epistles before I get into the study of the book of James, and that is that, again, these general epistles were written late in the century. Even though James was the first one written in 45 A.D., the other books were written after 60 A.D., and some of the books were written, of course, as late as 85 A.D. When you study the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, these books were written probably all 85, 86 A.D. This would be some 55 years after the Lord Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and ascended back to heaven. And so you keep in mind the late nature of these books. And so as you study the problems of these books, the problems of false teaching and other problems that arose, they're the problems that came in the late part of that century, except for the book of James, of course. And so we're going to be noting this along the way, and we'll be noting the importance of clearly understanding the purposes of these books and the emphasis and why they had these particular things to emphasize. So as we go along, I'm going to be starting in the next lesson with the book of James itself. But as we go along, we just keep in mind that these books were written at certain periods of time, meeting certain needs in that period of time. and that all of them together, the epistles of Paul, the Gospels, the book of Acts, and the general epistles, the book of Revelation, all of these books fit together into the New Testament as God's inspired holy word. And so approach this study with a very reverent attitude. Open your Bibles as we study, for instance, beginning with the book of James, because there will be various questions we will deal with, especially in the first chapter, where some controversies have arisen. Are these books really in conflict with the epistles of Paul? And of course, they're not. But we'll be dealing with this, and I would suggest to you that you have your Bibles open as we begin these studies. So in the next lesson, we'll begin the epistle of James. May the Lord bless you as you continue this study.